Good morning, church.
Good morning, church.
We hope that you guys are having a happy Easter from all of us here at the Scott household, including Arlo, who's now here to join us. So from our family to yours, happy Easter.
Welcome to worship this Easter Sunday. We're here to praise God for forgiveness and for the new life that He gives us through Christ, who was raised from the dead. I'm Bob Kuntz, the preacher for these next five Sundays while Andrew is on paternity leave. You can tell that I'm not in the sanctuary at Hope Church with its beautiful dark woodwork. This is my home church in Akron, Montrose Zion United Methodist, and they were kind enough to help me tape these sermons. I'm glad to be preaching today while Andrew's on leave. We met when he was appointed to LaGrange United Methodist Church, and I was pastor in Grafton. I'm sure that you know that Andrew is a hardworking, brilliant, creative pastor, and I respect him for how he values and supports his wife and family. People usually want to know something about the preacher for the day. I grew up in Akron, the first of five children. During college and seminary, my wife Libby and I worked seven summers at Camp Wanakee as counselors. And when I was pastor at Parma at Good Shepherd United Methodist, I often visited at Hope Church for district meetings and worship services. And then after 40 years in the local church, I retired. It's pretty nice. So before we start worship, I want to do one more thing. Let's get rid of the stuffy, rigid feeling that can creep into church. So I have a couple of jokes for you. There were a teenage guy and girl that went to the amusement park, and they'd been dating, and they had heard about the tunnel of love, so they were eager to try it out. A friend saw them the next day and said, "What happened? How was it?" And the boy said, "It was a real disappointment. It was dark and cold, and we got soaking wet." And the friend said, "Did the boat leak?" And the boy said, "There was a boat?" Then there's a woman who told about her family heading to school one day. She said, "Our fourth grader celebrated his fourth birthday on crutches, so he couldn't carry the cupcakes for his school class. And I asked our sixth grader, Noah, to carry them. Noah said, I would prefer not to." Spotting a teaching moment, my husband asked Noah, "Well, what would Jesus do?" And Noah said, "Well, Jesus would heal him so he could carry his own cupcakes." So in worship today, may Jesus bless you with his joy and love and with the powerful new life of the resurrection.
Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to see people out in the congregation. Hooray. And I would greet you with Happy Easter. Christ is risen.
And he has.
Thank you. I have a few announcements before we begin. Just some things that we need to keep in mind. I would ask you, since we are streaming the service, to please remain seated for the postlude at the conclusion of the service, and to do any of your major greeting outside in the fresh air. We don't have good circulation in here, unfortunately. And the other thing is, when we do the singing, I know your hearts are full on this Easter day, as mine is, but I would ask you to do 80% of your singing with your heart and only 20% with your voice. For CDC safety standards at this time. With that, let's open our service with our prelude.
Thank you. Good morning, Hope. I'm having a problem with this mask, but bear with me. We will do call to worship. Can we change the environment and get into an attitude of worship and praise?
Let us stand for the call to worship.
The love of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one man died for all, and therefore all have died.
He died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised to life.
Praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Remain standing if you can. And we will do Christ the Lord is Risen today. That's hymnal 302.
To the death of the cross,
and by his glorious resurrection, you delivered us from the power of our enemy. Grant us to die daily from sin, that we may evermore live with him in the joy of his resurrection, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And we will have a silent prayer. prison. He rose for each and every one of us. He rose to give us life. He continued to walk with us so we can be lovers of Him. He continued to be our guide, our Savior, and our Lord. Without Him, there would be no us. He wants us to continue to love one another as He has loved us. Which one of us would do what He did? He did it for each and every one of us. And we are grateful and thankful that He did rise, and He is alive, and He is with us daily. Join me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Lesson 1 comes from 1 Corinthians.
Solo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I crossed you out. We will have an Easter song by Madeline. Lesson 1, 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, I want to call your attention to the good news that I preached to you, which you also received and which you stand. You're being saved through it if you hold on to the message I preached to you, unless somehow you believe it for nothing. I pass on to you as most important what I also received. Christ died for our sins in line with the scriptures. He was buried and he rose on the third day in line with the scriptures. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once. Most of them are still alive to this day, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, as if I was born at the wrong time. I am the least important of the apostles. I don't deserve to be called an apostle because I harass God's church. I am what I am by God's grace, and God's grace has been for nothing. In fact, I have worked harder than all the others. That is, it wasn't me, but the grace of God that is with me. So then, whether you heard the message from me or them, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He's the first crop of the harvest of those who have died. Since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead came through one too. In the same way that everyone dies in Adam, so also everyone will be given life in Christ. Each event will happen in the right order. Christ, the first crop of the harvest, then those who belong to Christ at his coming, and then the end, when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father, when he brings every form of rule, every authority and power to an end. It is necessary for him to rule until he puts all enemies under his feet. Death is the last enemy to be brought to an end. May God add a blessing to these readings.
For the first 30 or 40 years after Jesus died, the gospel stories had not been written down. Instead, in worship, in people's homes, they told the stories that they had learned by heart. So today I'm going to tell the Easter story from John's gospel. And instead of having the text for you to read on the screen, just listen as the story is told. Early in the morning of the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb, and she found the stone had been rolled away. She ran to tell the disciples, Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. "They've taken our Lord from the tomb," she said, "and we don't know where they have laid him." The two disciples set out for the tomb. They were running side by side, but the other disciple outdistanced Peter and reached the tomb first. And peering inside, he saw the linen wrapping lying there, but he did not enter the tomb. Then Simon Peter reached the tomb, and he entered, and he saw the linen wrapping lying there, and the cloth that had covered his face lying not with them, but folded together in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, entered. And he saw. And he believed. And until then, they had not understood the scriptures that said that Jesus would rise from the dead. The two disciples went home again. But Mary stayed at the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she peered inside and she saw two men in white. One at the foot, the other at the head, where the body of Jesus had laid. And they said to her, "Dear woman, why are you weeping?" And she said, "Because they've taken my master away, and I don't know where they have laid him." And with these words, she turned and she saw Jesus. But she didn't know who he was. And he said to her, "Dear woman, why are you weeping? Who is it that you seek?" And thinking that he was the gardener, she said to him, "Please, sir, if you are the one who has taken him away, tell me where you have laid him that I may go to him." And Jesus said, "Mary." And she turned and she said, "Rabbi." And then Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father in heaven. But go and tell the disciples that I am now ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary ran to the disciples and she said, "I have seen the Lord." And she gave them his message. My wife and I really enjoy the spring. We keep looking to see what new flowers have bloomed. And I love to go out for a run in the spring when the air is so fresh and vibrant and alive. When the birds fill the world with singing, it's easy to believe that new life will come to us. We can trust that good things are on the way. Early on that dark Sunday morning, there were no spiritual daffodils heralding Christ's resurrection. Mary and the disciples knew that Jesus was dead. He was totally, completely, absolutely dead. No human being could change that. No hard work, no brilliant understanding, no human power could make a difference. Jesus was dead. And when Mary first arrives at the tomb and finds the stone rolled away, all she can see is the realm of death. After the two disciples leave the tomb, Mary remains weeping. Now we know what Mary was going through because we have lost loved ones. When we lose someone important, it hurts. There's a feeling that life itself has ended, that nothing good will ever happen again. In the scripture, we see Mary sharing her grief with the angels and with the one that she thinks is the gardener. Sometimes in our grief, we cannot see. We cannot imagine a good future. We cannot feel anything except sorrow and loss. Dead is dead and gone is gone. And what good could there possibly be? So Mary grieves. She doesn't do things to shove the grief away. She doesn't self-medicate with work or with alcohol or with TV. She doesn't tell herself, get a grip, get over it. She doesn't say, what's wrong with you, Mary, that you're so upset? Instead, she feels her pain and expresses her grief and stands there in the face of emptiness. Sometimes we hope and long for something of heaven in our life, and it's not there. Sometimes we're looking for Jesus, and we can't find Him. Sometimes we're grieving or lost, and we need the Lord, and He's out of reach, out of sight. Arthur John Gossip says, for all of her searching, it was not Mary Magdalene who came on Christ, but Christ who found her. And if you have lost Christ, if your spiritual life has dimmed and become thin and drab and meager, you can be sure that He is searching for you. He has missed you, and He wants you back again. And the Scripture reminds us, Jesus seeks until He finds. Norman Vincent Peale tells the story about his father, Reverend Peale. One day, Reverend Peale opened the door to the parsonage, and a fellow pastor, Jim Taylor, came barging in. He was disturbed. He was really upset. And he told Reverend Peale, I'm going to go to the session meeting at church tonight. I'm going to resign, and here's why I'm going to resign. I'm a hopeless drunk. And listen to Reverend Peale's reaction. There's no judgment. There's no frustration. There's the endless patience of Christ. He said, Jim, you've made a good start. You've admitted you have a problem. Let me go to the session meeting with you. And I'll watch over the church and I'll watch over your family. But would you do this? Would you go and find a revival and find Jesus? And Jim Taylor said that he would. So Reverend Peale went to the session meeting, and he told the church leaders about Jim Taylor's situation. He told them what he had instructed their pastor, and he asked them what they wanted to do. And friends, I pray that I have the faith that these church leaders had. The session members did not complain about Jim Taylor. They talked about themselves. One by one, they confessed their own failings. And this was no glib, easy confession. One of the members confessed to an adulterous affair. And after the session members spoke, Reverend Peale prayed for them. And then he asked them, what do you want to do about Jim Taylor? And they replied, we'll keep him. If he can find Jesus, then maybe we can too. Beloved, that is faith in the resurrection, in Christ in our midst. We no longer have to hide our failings because there is someone who can help us. We are no longer helpless to the powers that drive us to do things we're ashamed of. We're no longer victims at the mercy of those who might accuse and abuse us. We're no longer hopeless in a world that can be cold and cruel and uncaring. How do I know that Jesus has been raised from the dead? Because I've heard Him in prayer. Because I've experienced His presence at the hospital bedside, in places I never expected Him, in moments of great joy. And I know He was raised from the dead because He's made changes in my heart, changes that I hoped for but could never have made on my own.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures.
Friends, when Jesus lives in us, we are forgiven and we're set free. When He lives in us, we can forgive. And I think that the closest that I've felt to heaven is when I was able to forgive people who had hurt me deeply. When Jesus lives in us, we no longer live by the dog-eat-dog, eye-for-an-eye, hurt-for-a-hurt way of living. Instead, we forgive. Not because we weren't wronged, and not because the wrong didn't hurt or didn't matter. We forgive because He lives in us, and His love lifts us out of all wrong and holds us in His peace. Faith is not something that we make happen with our grit and our determination. Faith is a gift of grace. It's given to us by Christ's Spirit. And whatever we do, we can be thankful that Christ is alive and loves us. Now, friends, you probably had a reason for sitting down and streaming the worship service today. But I want to suggest this morning that sometimes God is doing something that we cannot foresee. Mary thought she came to the tomb to mourn. But Jesus came to Mary there and he called her by name. At the empty tomb, he had life for her beyond all that she could ask for or imagine. So you have your reason for being in worship today. But perhaps Jesus has something more for you. Perhaps he wants to call you by name and offer you his peace. Perhaps Jesus wants to meet you and make his forgiveness real to you. Perhaps there's an ache in your heart or a lifelong wound that Jesus is ready to heal. Perhaps you're here because he's inviting you to a new kind of life. So in the name of Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead, may he bless you with all that is holy and loving and true. And may the Holy Spirit in you tremble with the power of God. In Christ's name. Amen.
Let us stand and join in the hymn, Thine Be the Glory.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Since we're not doing church as we normally do, offertory baskets are outside of the sanctuary. You can leave your offering if you choose to. We will also be collecting love fund for the community center in Bedford for washers and dryers. We would appreciate, if you can, any offerings. Now we will have the doxology. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you, not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. You may be seated. Today, please keep in mind that we are all going through some things. We need to continue to pray for one another. We need to pray for individuals that have been diagnosed with the COVID, and that would be David Sanders' mother. We also need to pray for each other. Continue to love one another. And continue to remember that he did rise for us. He got out of that grave for us. There was a reason for him to come up out of that dirt so we could live sin free. We must remember that he didn't leave us. We left him. We must return to him, because without him, there is no us. I want you to go in peace, and I want you to remember, you pray for me, I pray for you, and we all will pray for the world, for peace, for love, for happiness. Continue to pray for the President of the United States and the individuals that are surrounded by him. He has a task at hand. And he needs all the help he can get along with us. In Jesus' name, be safe and walk in peace.